Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Very fine show for you today. Second hour, Tom. Tom Nash will be here second hour, and we'll do open forum. You can ask Tom whatever you like. But we have had a wonderful treat here at Catholic Answers today, here in the studio, but also in the offices more generally. We have two very fine visitors. Stephanie and Dan Burke are here. You may know them from the Avila Institute or from some of their other work. But we're going to talk a little bit about marriage. First of all, let me just say hello. Hello, Stephanie. Hello, Dan.
Hello. Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Thank you very much for being here. We said to you just a little while ago, well, let's try not to overwork you, and then we're just making you...
Show after show.
Yeah, just keep working hour after hour, and then you're doing a talk tonight.
Yeah, we'll survive, I think.
So the work you do is around spirituality, really.
Yeah.
Really. So will you tell us just either of you or both of you about that work?
Yeah, the Avila Foundation was established to repropose Catholic mystical tradition to the Church. So we formed priests, religious, and laity in well over 70 countries. I don't know the number now. We formed guys heading into seminary in 40 dioceses.
Really?
Yeah. We also in one major seminary. So the Lord has just taken a very small work, which began as spiritualdirection.com, and blown it up into quite a bit of activity that we never anticipated. But it's a great privilege, like with you, as you know, Catholic Answers serves the Church in such a powerful way. It's a great privilege, and every year he seems to introduce something new for us to chase after to help the Church. So it's wonderful.
If you'd like to call, we're going to talk about marriage today, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Stephanie, how did you come to this work of spirituality and helping people in their spiritual lives?
I never planned it, and I am testimony, or our work is testimony to the power of grace and healing and the Lord's sense of humor. So when Dan came in and I came together, I was in Catholic education, or actually I was in secular education, came into Catholic education, and then eventually came to help him to carry the work of the Avila Institute. And then we had a person that was on Divine Intimacy Radio with Dan who needed to step down and take care of her family, and so we just kind of prayed about it and took a risk and started doing Divine Intimacy Radio together, which turned into Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats and a lot of what we do. So it's been awesome.
And the Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats, you've been doing those for
a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happens when people come to the retreat? What is it? Well, first of all, I'd be interested to know, what are people looking for? Catholics who come for a marriage retreat, and then what are you helping them to find?
Yeah, what do people come looking for? They're looking for hope.
Hope, mostly, I think.
They're looking for time away to focus on their marriage. Marriage is under attack right now. Anybody can look out onto their social media, they can look out into the world and the news and understand that marriage is under attack.
Yeah.
And it began way back in the Garden of Eden. That was the first place where marriage was under attack. We shouldn't be surprised. And so it continues to this day. It's just gotten a little more intense, and people are looking for healing, restoration.
Improvement.
Mm-hmm. We've had everything from young couples who are newly engaged to newlyweds, all the way to couples in their 80s, and all different levels. Those that are struggling, those that are doing really well, who just want to get really, all
go
the
deeper.
More good. Yeah.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number. Dan and Stephanie Burke here with us. We'll talk about marriage spirituality, but when we talk about marriage spirituality, are we talking about a spirituality of the challenges of marriage or spiritual opportunities in marriage? Which thing would you say is the...
I think it's both. I mean, essentially marriage, the purpose of marriage is to help the one another get to heaven, right?
Yeah.
So fundamentally, marriage spirituality is to answer two questions, which is the same thing as the Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats. One is, how is it that we grow in union with God, and how is it that we grow in union with one another? And the secret is that if we are both heading toward God, the second is taken care of. naturally. So marriage spirituality is just about how it is that we as a couple, as one, which is, as Stephanie likes to say, we're a new creation together, how it is that we travel that road in a way that's helpful and effective and nurturing and also combating those things which attempt to derail us, strengthening areas of weakness, whatever it is. Marriage spirituality is about how we make that journey to heaven together.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. It doesn't seem like we're doing it very well. I mean, I hate to say it, but I suppose that you could look at it in a way that doesn't just get down to bare statistics. You know, yeah. There are other things that measure, but the statistics are discouraging as far as marriage goes.
Well, the Catholic Church's statistics are no different, as you probably know, than the world in terms of divorce and destruction.
I actually didn't know that. We do just as well as the rest of the world.
We do just as poorly as the rest of the world. Yeah, yeah, we do, unfortunately. But I think there is some data out there, and I don't have it at my fingertips, that reveals that when husbands and wives are praying together, when they're practicing intimacy together in a way that's honoring to the Lord, the divorce rate is dramatically lower.
Okay, 888-318-7884, the number. When you say practicing their intimacy together, I mean, in part, the spiritual path of Catholic marriage is arduous in a sense, in that it doesn't have the outs, so to speak, among them contracepting, I assume, mm-hmm. is what you're referring to.
Yep.
Do you talk with people about a spirituality of openness to life and why the church? I mean, I think many people just think it's a no. That this is a big church no, mm-hmm. without any sense of why the church says what it says. So they really don't have a clue of what they would be saying yes to in a marriage that was open to life.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's part of our journey, and it took me a while to get comfortable telling our testimony and my testimony within our marriage retreat. But, you know, I was taught that contraception was something that a bunch of guys in red hats up on the hill made up, and that it really wasn't necessary for me, that it would keep me from reaching my goals and all of this. And so when I, together, Dan and I, when we were courting, we're the Brady Bunch, we read Theology of the Body together, and it was completely transformative. I wept through most of it because I was so heartbroken. When I came to realize the beauty and the grace of the intimacy in a couple,
right.
that our sexuality has a purpose, that it's beautiful, that it's life-giving, and that when you work against that through the means of the world, the flesh, the devil, contracepting, whatever it is, that it actually destroys your intimacy with one another. And that's why we talk about divine intimacy. It's part of the secret of being totally open and life-giving to one another, and understanding that when a marriage couple engages in the marital embrace in a state of grace, they actually receive sacramental graces. And that is something most people don't understand. So,
no.
You know, if right. you're in a state of grace and you engage in the marital embrace in love and self-giving to one another, you actually receive sacramental grace that unites you more deeply with your spouse. It strengthens your marriage. It strengthens you against the world, the flesh, the enemy, right?
It's very interesting to me the way that you express the fact that the being denied the teaching of the church was more offensive to you as a woman than the teaching of the church. That is to say, we're usually told, oh, what's really it's bothersome to mm-hmm. bother women with the teaching that the church has. But you're saying when you discovered the church teaching, this actually lightened your heart. It actually changed the direction in a positive way.
It absolutely did. It converted my heart, and it made me understand that the desires that I had been given were beautiful and good and right, and that the enemy in the world had sold me a bill of goods. They had told me it was something to be thrown away, something to be used, something that was casual and
worthless.
Nothing and worthless,
yeah.
And was something that you actually needed to get rid of it as soon as possible. And it was like that. It's a horrid story that breaks the heart of a woman. It breaks our hearts because we know that this isn't right. This isn't honoring. It destroys our dignity. And so when that can be restored through the beauty of the teachings of the church, and especially in your marriage, and it can be something that's life-giving, not just procreative, but also unitive, and be beautiful and good and rich, that it makes your marriage better. Like, my husband's my best friend. You know, I want to spend as much time with him as I can. And that part of our marriage gives us life. As well as the other.
888-318-7884. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. But if you have questions about living out the spirituality of marriage, if maybe you feel that that's missing in your marriage, or it's present in your marriage, but you'd like a sense of how to fully tap into the graces of marriage, as we've heard, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Conversations with Consequences, where we delve deeper into issues affecting our church, our country, and our core, the family.
As Catholics, we need to be informed, aware, and able to talk through some of the tough topics that we're facing in our culture and in our world. Conversations with Consequences gives us the tools to do so.
It's not enough to pray. We have to be a light for the world.
Conversations with Consequences, this Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tom Nash will be here. Second hour, we'll do open forum. This hour, we're talking about the spirituality of marriage with Stephanie and Dan Burke. But I would be remiss if I didn't bring something up that I know everybody in Catholic radio is going to bring this up today. And that is that, I don't know if you know this, today is the 100th anniversary of the birth of Mother Angelica.
Oh, wow.
Were you aware of that?
That's awesome. You know, most people don't know how the impact she's had on the church in the United States. And we'd likely look a lot more like Germany if she hadn't done what she did.
I have never thought about it that way,
yeah,
Dan.
Bishop Fulton Sheen, you know.
Yeah.
Carl Keating, Mother Angelica, you know.
Wow, that's right. Yeah, there really are these figures who just stepped out and made a huge difference. I love the mentioning of Fulton J. Sheen, but what she did is so different than what he did.
Oh, yeah.
That it almost, you look at it and you go, it's as magnificent as, now all the Fulton J. Sheen fans are going to be mad at me.
You're in trouble now, yeah.
But really what she did, and I know she wouldn't take any credit for it. She'd say, no, it's the Lord's work, and I'm sure she's right about that. But it's an incredible work that of really lasting value.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It'll be here, I mean, well, long after she's gone. I don't know how many years she's gone now, but 100 years after, her work will still be here. Again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Did either of you know Mother Angelica by any chance?
The closest I got to her was at her funeral.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You went to the funeral? And
I did. I was able to touch her hand and touch a holy card to her hand, and yeah.
I'm going to need to get a high five from you before you leave.
I can hug you if you want.
Oh, that was even better. Just
get holy.
Get that grace all over me. Yeah. Among her kind of expansive explaining and defending the faith, including really encouraging people in their spiritual life, this also included marriage. Like when you hear those conversations that she has with people, it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
She's a natural wit. Mm-hmm. With a kind of supernatural approach.
Yeah, you know? And very smart, you know, just able to talk off the cuff in a way that was very compelling.
Very compelling, yeah, yeah. So we're talking about marital spirituality. Is it an untapped kind of treasure of the church? Is this, I do get this sense talking with the two of you about that it has this quality of an untapped treasure, but is that your sense?
Well, I can ask you a question to answer that question.
Okay.
Name five books on the topic.
On the topic of?
Marriage spirituality.
Oh, well.
So we get zip, right?
Well, Fulton J. Sheen, Three to Get Married.
Sure. But that's about it.
Yeah, we have a new one.
We have a new one out, yeah? By Father Robert Altier, called God's Plan for Your Marriage, that we helped to bring to press.
It's amazing.
That's extraordinary.
Okay, I'll have to look at that.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Okay, yeah. God's Plan for Your Marriage.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think Cardinal Sarah is trying.
Yeah, you know, something new. Yeah.
You know, trying to encourage people to embrace not just marriage as a kind of, you know, everybody does it kind of thing,
yeah,
but to embrace the sacrament of marriage. How do I do that? How do I embrace the sacrament of my marriage?
Well, I think the most important understanding of marriage, the sacrament of marriage, we can tie it to, let's say, the Eucharist. How is it that you receive more graces from the Eucharist? Well, it's frequenting the Eucharist with a proper disposition, right? So
yes.
In terms of marriage, of course, it necessitates living in a state of grace. When you're in a state of grace and you engage in acts of service to one another in marriage with the intention of receiving those graces, you do. And then, of course, the marital embrace is a place of heightened orientation to that reality and comportment to that reality, where we receive grace to strengthen our marriage, to help us to be holier toward God and toward one another.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you went immediately to the Eucharist.
Yeah.
Like you went right back to the Eucharist. And that there's a connection between my marital life, my marriage life, and my meeting Jesus in the Eucharist.
Yeah, I mean, the connection is that they're both sacraments. And we don't often think of marriage, the sacrament or the grace of the sacrament comes at the wedding.
Right,
or the consummation of the marriage. But it actually comes over and over again when we are loving and serving one another in union together. And that's something I think it's, you know, we're a little bit out there. I don't think it's formally developed dogma of the church, but I think it's a reasonable understanding of the sacrament of grace in marriage. I don't think it's a one-time thing. I think it is something that emerges more and more as we serve one another with the intention of receiving that grace.
Yeah, and our marriage retreat, you know, the secondary title of it is Ascent to Oneness. It's a play on words of ascent to one with the Lord and one another. And so when you think about the Eucharist, we go to receive Him time and time again so that we're changed into Him, that he cleanses us, purifies us, sanctifies us, fills us with Himself, and we become more like Him. You know, Dan and I think very much alike anymore. We're not the same person, but we are a new creation. And so the more that we focus on serving one another, I've talked often about how I, at the beginning of our marriage, and I still do this, but I begged the Lord to love my husband through me in gratitude just for this extraordinary gift of a marriage that He had given me out of, you know, after having so much brokenness in my past. And so in that giving of myself over and over again to love Him and allow the Lord to love Dan through me, that we've become more as one in the way that we live, the way that we serve others. And out of that oneness, the Lord birthed an incredible ministry that we never, ever dreamed was going to happen.
No, you didn't set out, I know what we'll do. Will be. It came as the fruit of
it. Did.
Yeah.
It did. And
yeah.
That's why I talk about the supernatural grace of it, because we've lived it out. We've seen it, because we were so purposeful, having come from broken backgrounds, to say, we're gonna run towards the Lord, and we're not letting go. We call it fighting towards one another and fighting towards God. And we just watch the Lord renew and restore.
Fighting towards God is a wonderful image. It's the two of you together fighting your way through whatever the thickets of this world are towards God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fighting idea, this kind of fierceness about union, is necessary for a holy marriage, because we didn't start out by any means in a peaceful marriage. Both of us are very strong-willed. Both of us come from, you know, I come from abuse. So when I came into marriage, I came with some incredibly deficient understandings of how it ought to work, just in very basic terms. And so it took a lot of us working very hard. I understood how to follow Jesus, but I didn't know exactly how to do that well in a marriage.
Yes.
And so marriage spirituality is about figuring that out, you know, piece by piece. Like, how do I begin every day? And how do I orient that my heart and mind? How do I set my compass toward a proper view and pursuit of God and a proper understanding and pursuit of Stephanie and our relationship and marriage? And just being super deliberate about that, and then fighting through all the times when both of us screwed that up, so to speak, and really don't do it well. And so then there's forgiveness and there's restoration. But the fighting towards is this idea that when we have conflict, the fight is against myself and my desire to run, or my desire to yell, or my desire to dominate, or all of those disordered instincts, to fight against those things and to fight against myself to go towards her instead of away from her, and her instinct to fight toward me instead of away from me, mm-hmm. Is a very powerful idea.
Yeah, and understanding that the enemy works to divide us and to break us, and that he hates marriage. The enemy actually just truly hates marriage. If you haven't realized that, check your news feed, you know?
Right.
And so this understanding of, especially I think when I talk to women in the marriage retreat, is this understanding that when we get hurt as women, we tend to be vulnerable anyway,
because by design.
By design, right? It's theology of the body. It's how we've been designed, and so we have to resist the urge to self-protect and withdraw and run.
Close up.
To close up and go away, and whereas the name woman in Greek, negaba, means open. To be woman is to be open, that we receive the Lord's grace and we bring forth life. We receive our husbands, we receive our children.
Right.
That it's this beautiful design. And when it's injured, and or through the enemy, through the world, through circumstance, through fear, which is a huge motivator, or just in the broken communication of man and woman in a marriage, that is the first to go. And if we're not careful, it'll wreck us, and it'll wreck our marriages.
I want to ask you about, because we get this question very, very often. It has varieties. I'm sure you're familiar with the varieties, but I've come back to the faith. My spouse has not come back to the faith. I want to practice the faith and share it with the children. My spouse is not interested in practicing the faith and sharing it with my children. So do you see the that person listening to the two of you says, well, they both want God.
Yeah.
They both want the church. They want the sacrament. Help me with the person, because I don't think it's that rare a person, who says, yeah, but I feel like I'm in it alone.
Well, we actually had a couple like that come to our last retreat. And what happened was, when the spouse who was away experienced what I would call the gospel living, experienced the beauty of Catholic understanding of marriage, the beauty of theology of the body, the hopefulness of what it means to be in union, that spouse actually began to turn a corner in their Catholicism. In fact, two cases, one woman and one man. One man came back to, went to confession for the first time in 26 years, and he wasn't interested in the faith. But when they're exposed to God's design, back to that book title, God's Plan for Your Marriage, and how beautiful and good it is, which isn't a bunch of prohibitions, but instead a glorious vision of what God desires to give to us in and through marriage, varying degrees of away from the church, said, you know what, this is interesting to me. I'd like to learn more. But sometimes it takes that getting away. You know, it's hard. That's hard to do on your own.
It sure is.
But getting away at a retreat where you're confronted with all kinds of new ideas and new environment, different people that you've never met before, it provides an opportunity, a desire. I mean, they have to, you have to at least have a desire. It really can open up their hearts and minds.
Yeah, and I think it's really difficult. We experience tons of people like that. We have a number of them in our community. We call it being unequally yoked. And I think we need to understand that holiness is very beautiful. It's very attractive. And just the experience of being with someone who's holy can cause you to be transformed. So the witness of the spouse that is seeking God, if they're truly becoming more loving, more faithful, more hopeful, will start to change the heart of their spouse and bring them to God.
More right after this on Catholic Answers Live. This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns its attention to the question of God in an age of unbelief. Join us September 21st through 24th in San Diego for I Believe in God, featuring very special guest Scott Hahn and an all-star lineup of speakers. Spend four fun days with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guests, Dan and Stephanie Burke from the Avila Institute. And you also have an apostolate, mm-hmm. a lay apostolate, which is what we are here, mm-hmm. a lay apostolate called...
Apostoli Vie.
And that is about helping people to...
To grow in union with God. It's about living the contemplative life, lighting the way, and helping others along that same path. Yeah, Apostoli Vie. We have... members all over the world, private association of the faithful.
And how can people find out about it?
ApostoliVA.org, if you can spell that. Just put in something close and Google will get you.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just, all right. ApostoliVA.
Yeah. ApostoliVIAE.org.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
The number here is 888-318-7884. It's a tough topic to call and ask questions about. I understand that, but you are very welcome. To call, whether you're Catholic or not, if you'd like to know about the spirituality of marriage. It's a well-developed area in Catholic theology, but I do, at least in my experience, there's many non-Catholic Christians mm-hmm. who are very interested in what the Catholic Church has to say about marriage. I think just knowing that it's thousands of years of wisdom on this topic.
Well, and as a former evangelical, I think in particular they're more interested because the fundamental message to an evangelical about sex and all of that is no, and don't ask me any deeper kinds of questions.
Oh.
But the Catholic answer, no pun intended, is a much deeper and more beautiful answer to what is marriage about, what is holy sexuality about, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you ask people even what they would ask, they may not even understand. But I never heard about marriage spirituality. Like, right. What is that, right? And I'm a cradle Catholic, so poorly formed. But I think the other way to say it is, how, you know, just questions about your marriage. How do we overcome this? How do we overcome that? How do we, you know, if we're struggling in this particular area, what does that look like? How do we overcome that? And we answer tons of questions on this every time we open it up on radio, on Divine Intimacy Radio, on Marriage Spirituality. We get a ton of feedback, and people are really hungry because they're hurting.
It's not an advertisement for marriage, the amount of suffering in marriage. Yeah. But we keep doing it because clearly we know, I think we intuit, even on the natural level, there's something that that is there for me. But it's very easy to lose sight of that and to not even remember what it was you were going after in marriage.
Well, it helps satisfy this deep longing that we have that's innately there, that it's put there by grace. So we have a desire. The Lord put a desire in our heart to be one with Him. And the closest thing that we know sometimes, if we haven't encountered being one with Him yet, we long to be one with someone else, to have something that's authentic and real and deep and lasting. And I want to know that you take me at my worst and encourage me to be at my best. And that you're not going to leave and betray me and break my heart.
And you won't reject me in my sin and my weaknesses. That you receive me as I am, seeing the good and looking past the brokenness.
But helping me to become who God desires me to be. I mean, a lot of people look at marriage and go, well, you know, that's fine for you, but you don't understand the person I married. Right, and we actually got the question of, you know, what about marriage as cross?
Is your spouse is your husband your cross, or your wife your cross?
Yeah, spouse as cross. And I started laughing because I thought, well, you know, my cross looks like Dan Burke and has a beard, you know? And so, yes, our spouse is our cross. But that's the person that the Lord gave me that knew that He was going to be part of my sanctification and I was going to be part of His. In the good and the bad, you know, we both have barnacles. We both have brokenness. And what's fascinating is a lot of it is kind of the opposite of one another. And so I can help strengthen him in areas where he needs to be strengthened. He can strengthen me in a ton of areas where I need to be strengthened. And so in that, we become more of one person in this new creation, where my weaknesses fill in for him and his for me, or strengths, right, in those areas of weakness, right? And then we become better together if we're running after the Lord, right?
The cross imagery, however, it does bring up this idea of one of the great kind of gifts, I suppose, that Christ has given us in his own example is that death is not the end. And often marriage feels like death, and death feels like the end.
Yeah, well, the reason it feels that way, of course, is because we've picked a person, and we're hoping that they will be that person that will accept us, that will see us in the entirety of who we are and won't run away. And the problem is, it just doesn't always work that way. They do run away, or they add to the wounds that we have.
Right.
You know, and they hurt us when we're looking to be healed, you know. But I think when we learn how to run after the Lord together, our woundedness becomes a pathway to holiness. It becomes a pathway to hope instead of a barrier.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes that suffering is one-sided. You know, we would be lying to you if we didn't say there were times when I wounded Dan deeply and when he wounded me deeply. And in those moments, I needed to search my heart and my mind and my prayer and ask the Lord, you know, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, why am I aching like this? Why does this hurt so badly? And in offering the Lord my suffering and inviting him into that suffering and into my marriage, then he could teach me what he was asking of me. Because a lot of times that area where we suffer is our brokenness that needs to be redeemed and restored and brought to newness of life, right? Yeah. And maybe I'm being wounded in that area because, you know, I'm prideful, and maybe I'm selfish, and maybe I'm not the person that I need to be for the sake of my husband, or vice versa. And so the Lord allows me to feel the pain within the context of the difficulty, and then he purifies me in that. And then I learn from that, and I'm strengthened in it. And we learn to communicate better. I mean, I have to tell you a funny story. I went to confession, and this wasn't all this long ago. I mean, it was been within the last year. And I took to confession. I remember exactly what it was. There was some sort of conflict, not huge, but conflict enough that it caused pain. And I brought to confession, you know, X, Y, Z, and whatever happened in the situation. And I remember saying to my priest, very holy priest, I said, things are okay now. I told my husband I'm fine. So he listens to my confession. He said, okay, well, he said, one of the things that I'm picking up is you lied. And I said, what do you mean I lied, Father? And he said, well, you told your husband you were fine. And I went, oh.
Wow.
I'm not fine. I'm hurting. And it was, and so I added that to my confession. And I took his counsel, and when I came out of the confessional later that night, as painful as it was, because it was uncomfortable, we weren't completely restored. Because remember, I said I was fine, right, to gain the peace back. I went and I said, you know, I said this, I said I was fine, I'm not fine, and I need to, in a place of calmness and quietness, I need to explain this to you. And he listened, and we were restored in that. But it forced me to go towards my husband and say, I'm not okay. This hurt me, and this is why. But I want you to know that I love you, and I'm trying very hard to be who God wants me to be in this marriage, and that I'm willing to do, you know, whatever it takes to become that person with you, you know, by God's grace.
It really puts the lie to the kind of devilish allegation that Christian marriage is about repressing so that you can just be kind all the time.
No,
do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It's about mastering our feelings in a kind of mechanical way.
Or stuffing them.
Yeah, or stuffing them. That there's a way in which the Lord can handle it if we fall apart, and he wants us to have a spouse who can help us in those things.
No, it's about us becoming what he's designed us to become fully in him, and that process of falling and rising and falling and rising and rubbing up against one another and wounding one another and forgiving, it's about that, because that's what sanctifies us. I mean, religious life, what a lot of people don't realize is religious life is about the exact same thing. Why do so many saints come out of religious life? Because they're taught in religious life that you are going to rub up against your fellow sisters or fellow priests, and it's for the purpose of your sanctification, and your job is to stay in it and pursue holiness. Well, it's the same thing in marriage. There can be saints that come out of marriage, but we often are not taught that it's actually normal to harm one another and to wound one another and to be restored. And if we teach that, but that's all for the purpose of coming to the fullness of who we are and who we are and knowing joy. I will say, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you ask me to rate my marriage on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it's about a 3,467,000, 10 being best, of course.
Yeah.
And I just could have never imagined a better marriage. But it isn't better because we stuff and hide. It isn't better because we suppress.
Right.
It's better because we face who we really are and seek to face him, the one whom, when we face, we are transformed into the person that we're called to be for him and for each other.
Yeah, and really understanding how broken we were in the beginning, because I never want people to say, well, that's easy. That's because you guys are Dan and Stephanie Burke.
Right.
And I think the beauty of coming out of prior relationships that were annulled and being the Brady Bunch is, and having numerous divorces all through our family, you know, terrible line of divorces and brokenness, that when we come together, we can say we truly came with all of our baggage,
all the
brokenness. We understand the attack on marriage, and we're telling you that you can be restored in Christ. You can be restored and renewed, no matter how bad it is. We've seen it. We've lived it. We've helped couples through it. It's a beautiful truth.
Ron in Illinois, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. You are up first today, Ron. Go ahead with your question for Stephanie and Dan Burke.
Hello, Dan and Stephanie. I'm actually a disciple in AV. met you before, but my question is. My wife and I mean, we have a great marriage, but we are going through a period where we are physically separated by distance for sometimes months at a time. You know, it's a little bit difficult, we're about 7-8 months into it with the, you know, she's taking care of elderly parents. I'm home holding down the fort with our kids and stuff like that. And you know, some days are more challenging than others, but, you know, I guess, obviously, you know, we take these things to prayer and we both try to carry our crosses as much as possible, but you know, I guess
it's hard.
I'm just wondering about any words of wisdom for helping. I get to see her this weekend, which is
awesome.
Great, you know,
tell her we said, hey, well, Stephanie and I were apart in the beginning of our marriage because I was running the National Catholic Register in another state 3 weeks out of four every month. And so I don't know, you probably have some wisdom as the one, you know, who was home while I was away, how to deal with that. It was tough.
Home with combined kids, combined marriage.
Combined sin.
You know, we survived that. We can survive anything. It was terribly hard. But I think one of the things that was so crucial for that, for us in general, throughout our marriage, is that we never failed to pray together every day.
If you can do that over Skype or Zoom or something. Just even praying Compline at night before you go to bed, which is a very brief prayer, or just getting on and praying Our Father and a Hail Mary or a Decade of the Rosary, that is really what brought us together, actually. Before we were even married, we prayed together every night for at least 6 months we were doing that. But try to do that, and that should help a lot. Even if it's hard, I would really try to make that happen.
And the sharing of burdens, you need to connect at least once a day. And hopefully it's, you know, to pray and then talk a little bit, just to say, hey, you know, I'm
love
here for you.
I'm here,
I love you. Everything's going to be.
How can I pray for you?
How can I pray for you? And even praying for one another over that, you know, and talking through situations and understanding that every storm runs out of rain. Every single storm runs out of rain.
Yeah.
This is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
Things will be restored. And especially, I think, you're both carrying big burdens, but caring for the elderly as they pass from this life is a huge...
It's rough.
It's a huge cross. So we'll certainly be praying for Ron and his family.
Ron, thank you very, very much for the call. We do have to go to a break. This is a tough year to come to California and say every storm runs out of rain, because it didn't seem like it this year in California.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vashers, president of Annunciation Radio. The scripture says, when the word of God goes out, it doesn't return void, but accomplishes that for which it was sent. We regularly hear from individuals whose lives have been dramatically changed as a result of listening to Catholic Radio. Tell a family member, tell a friend, tell the whole world. Change your station, and it'll change your life.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I want to invite you again to join us for our big annual apologetics conference. We do it each September, the last full weekend of September, and it will be September 21st through 24th here in San Diego. And it's called I Believe in God, and it's just about that. It's about I Believe in God. There's all kinds of deals and stuff. Use the promo code EARLY to save, and you go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to do that. But I want to tell the two of you who our keynote speaker is. Sister Regina Marie Gorman.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
We love her.
I knew you knew her.
She's she is one of the best speakers you'll ever hear. Totally different than the average speaker because she almost whispers when she talks. But because what she's saying is so beautiful, everybody leans in and gets really quiet.
That's funny because we had her on the show. And we had that was exactly our experience, was they're pushing that slider up higher and higher and higher, trying to get Sister's voice to come through clear. But, oh, yeah, we loved having her
here. Fantastic.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Scott Hahn will be also be one of the speakers. All of our apologists will be there. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Get $50 off right now if you use the promo code EARLY. Up next, a question from Junior. Junior, thank you for waiting, Junior. Go ahead with your question.
They're minor problems that they carry for a long time. So my curiosity is if you would recommend marriage counseling the same way you would recommend spiritual direction for a person.
The first thing that I would recommend is for you to pray and sacrifice and fast for your parents. The power of your prayer for them will be transformative, and you'll see a lot of grace flowing there. The other, you know, it's really, really difficult if our elderly parents in their struggles and their weaknesses share their brokenness with you because it's not something that you know how to carry as a child.
Or you shouldn't have to.
You shouldn't have to as a child. I would encourage that they perhaps, you know, Dan mentioned to me privately, he said maybe spiritual director.
Joint
or separate, but at the beginning of our marriage, we did have one spiritual director together, and we would meet with that director once a month, and we started to talk, and what was beautiful about it is we learned a lot together in that direction, and then as the fruit start of that, the grace of spiritual direction started to take root, then we wanted our own, and then there was more grace and more growth that came out of that. Now, being in Peru, I don't know, you know, what kind of resources they have. Encouraging them to meet with their priest is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Having the priest pray for them, pray over them, and can bring a lot of grace as well. So
counseling is a shot in the dark.
Yeah,
that's the difficulty.
Yeah, I wouldn't. So, but if they can come, we'd love to have them at the marriage retreat. They'd learn a lot. So anyway, hope that helps.
And how, wait, just since you said that, how does somebody come on your marriage retreat? Is there a website for that? There's a website for everything on earth, isn't there?
Right.
So what's
right.
the website for your retreat?
Spiritualdirection.com, and you go to the events page. That has all of our events there, but if you'll scroll down, we do offer our marriage retreats on that events page, spiritualdirection.com.
All right, Junior, thank you very, very much. Going to St. Louis, Missouri now. Richard, listening on 96.7 FM. Richard, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Stephanie and Dan.
Yeah, my question is for a marriage that's doing extremely well. We have a phenomenal marriage. We've been together 4.5 years, the third marriage for each of us. We've learned a lot of the good, bad, and ugly, and we pray in the morning, at night, and dinner time. We start the morning every day with an hour and a half of catechism in a year. We're running a company together that we feel is really, you know, driven by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, so the question is, you know, what would you recommend just to take something that's going great and take it higher and more into sanctification?
That's a great question. I think one would be going on pilgrimage together. Because you're in business together and you're doing so many things together, one of the things that you can get into is kind of a pattern that can hide underlying issues that aren't exposed unless you break the pattern. So taking once a year the time off to just focus on each other and not, you know, so what you're describing a lot is walking side by side, praying side by side, and sometimes breaking that rhythm and getting out into a different unfamiliar territory with new ideas can jolt even a good marriage and open your eyes and heart to ways that you need to grow that you would have never imagined before. That would be one of my recommendations.
Yeah, that's learning to recreate, have recreation together in a purposeful, beautiful way. The other thing I think is so important, and it is just such an under-tapped reality for marriages, it's such a grace, is to study theology of the body together. Mm-hmm. When Dan and I were courting and then after we were married, and we still do this, we studied a lot together. I would read, we would talk about it, he would read, we would talk about it, and we'd go back and forth, and it united our language and our understanding. It gave us common language to talk about. So studying something like, there's so many resources that make it digestible, not, you know, if you go to the big one, JP2's writings themselves, you'll probably just, you know, fall asleep because it's so huge, right? Yeah. And the language is difficult, but there are so many good resources out there. And find books to read and pray together and learn together.
It'll challenge you.
It'll challenge you.
Things that,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, theology of the body will change your world. The other is to study and learn about mental prayer, learn mm-hmm. about discernment of spirits in marriage together,
yep.
Go on a retreat, you know, like the Divine Intimacy Retreat, things like that where you can learn to grow in oneness outside of running the business together.
Richard, I'm going to say thanks and keep moving because Beth Ann in Kentucky, listening on 1040 AM, has a question. And Beth Ann, we're coming near the end, so if you could be kind of quick with your question, we'll get you an answer.
Okay. I'm Catholic, obviously. My husband is Baptist. We've been kind of on cruise control as far as our faith has gone. He's gone his direction. I've gone mine. But, you know, we don't pray together hardly at all. After 35 years of marriage, things are getting much rockier. He's dealing with some unresolved family issues on his side from some deaths and strokes and that stuff. I can't tell how much of his unhappiness right now is really just emotional versus maybe a spiritual warfare thing going on. And everything that is wrong with him is my fault. What direction do
I'm
I go?
Sorry for your suffering.
I've got it implemented with my pastor, but it's going to be a tough one for him.
Yeah, that is so very painful. And what you're describing is warfare, because the oneness of your marriage is where the enemy wants to attack, because he knows. The enemy knows that if you are one together, that it can bring healing and restoration to the heart and mind and spirit of your husband. So that's why the enemy wants your husband to perceive you as the problem. So there is a lot of warfare that you're describing here that's going on. What you can do, you can't fix him, nor can you talk to him into reason. Words are not going to help. Prayer and sacrifice will.
Fasting.
And fasting for your husband. You know, you hear it all the time, but people don't have any idea how powerful that is, that you will see miracles if you pray, sacrifice, and fast for your husband deep. Go deep. Go to Our Lady and say, Mama, I can't fix this. Abba, I can't fix this, but you can handle this, and I give it all to you. Help my husband heal his heart.
Thank you very much, Beth Ann. You were quick with that question. I want to say thank you to Dan and Stephanie Burke. Thank you both. And again, it's spiritualdirection.com would be the main
yep.
place to go to get any information you're looking for. Spiritualdirection.com. Well, we tried to work you to death today, but you got one more talk to do, so
yeah.
Good luck. All right, we'll be right back. Tom Nash will be here, and it'll be open forum. And if you don't ask him about the Detroit Pistons, We'll all get through the show just fine. Right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.